Oh boy. Congratulations to PSG. They are officially Champions League winners back to back. Welcome to the Cooligans. I am here. We are live on the Cooligans YouTube channel across all Yahoo Sports channels. And I'm here joined by my guest co-host, the diehard Arsenal fan of CBS Sports, Golasso, Christine Kupo. Christine, how are you doing, Ryan? Let's get to you first.
I'm overwhelmed. I was like way overstimulated by the length of that match and then the pens, which I hate to see any big match go to that.
Sure.
But it just was, it was a lot. The penalty kicker lineup was a lot. Everything was a lot. I'm probably going to be absorbing this for the next hour.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lot to go from the roller coaster of emotions of just the penalties to, all right, cameras on, we're live, Kupo. let's do this.
Hey.
Hide all your emotion and be objective as possible during this Yahoo broadcast.
Welcome to sports journalism.
She has her notes on the desk and everything. She means business. No. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, man. Yeah, this is a wild time. We'll get the producer, we'll get the chat on the screen and everything. We'll see everybody. So leave your comments in the chat on YouTube is where we'll see them. So don't hesitate to let us know how you're feeling right now, especially our Arsenal fan, our resident Arsenal fan, Alexis Guerreros is in London right now. He's obviously prepared to go to the parade, which is on Sunday.
Yep.
But I think he was excited to celebrate a Premier League win and
the first Champions League win for Arsenal.
And a Champions League win, but we'll only get one of the two of those. So a little, disappointing for Arsenal fans, but PSG did it back to back. I mean, this is pretty wild. Let's talk about Arsenal a little bit. We'll have a lot to like parse through and figure out. But for PSG to go back to back, when they were the, you know, regularly for years, they would get close and we all knew the mission for PSG was always to win. They always won Ligue 1, but for them to do this back to back and then in very different fashions, right? They win 5-0 in last year against Inter Milan, and then they win in penalties to Arsenal. So they were able to like figure out. Luis Enrique was able to figure out. So your reactions from the perspective of PSG getting it done.
PSG, again, it was a very, I'd say, tactically sound match where they got frustrated often by Arsenal. They were not able to play their game, which made it play out the way that it did, unfortunately. Yeah. They got a little bit bolder going into extra time. I wouldn't even say the second half. They tried to capitalize on some of Arsenal's more attacking substitutions. They weren't able to break through. Arsenal was sitting in that deep block, and it was effective, but they kept hammering at it. They had more shots for sure, panning out, but fewer on target. Arsenal ultimately nearly outdid them entirely, if not for that penalty. That penalty, I feel like, was a little bit of a turning point for PSG. I think something that let the winds out of their sails a little bit, not that they're lacking for talent, was losing Dembele after 90 minutes.
Yeah.
No matter what, he is such a one-of-one player in world football, never mind just for PSG, that you're going to change the feel to the team is going to shift a little bit. And it did. But I mean, they played a very decent match. They just weren't able to break down that low block that Arsenal had.
Yeah. We were watching the game together and alongside our producers, and everybody's sort of complaining at the lack of entertainment, and which was, we kind of expected that. I mean, if it wasn't for Kai Havertz's goal in the beginning, I think the game probably would have had longer stretches of entertaining football, but we just didn't, the goal, the early goal in the 6th minute changed, I think, the perspective even for PSG. I don't think PSG really wanted the ball.
No.
And PSG let go of the, you know how they would, when they would kick off and kick the ball out and put a high pressure and trying to force mistakes and force counters. And I think both teams kind of played in ways that they didn't fully want to, or at least Arsenal, I imagine they didn't want to do that for the entire game. How many, can we get the number of passes? The number of passes?
Just within the first half, we had PSG putting up like 300 passes to Arsenal 75.
Yeah.
So it was less than a third of the ball movement that PSG had. What was interesting, though, is when we looked at the full match in its entirety, Arsenal had far more penetrative passing in the final third for PSG. So they were more clinical. They did make smarter moves with less, which ultimately that's the ideal, right? You don't want to expend energy that you don't need to get the job done. The problem was once PSG leveled, and I think that that was Arsenal's early game plan, is get out early, get a goal early. Did I think it was going to happen right after minute five? No, absolutely not. That was quite frankly a shock of mine.
But the we ended the game with 806 passes by PSG to Arsenal's 196.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a massive chasm.
I mean, it's insane. When you think of Arsenal, you think of a team that kind of maintains some kind of possession. Historically, the idea that this is, I mean, nobody would have expected these kind of numbers. So in the late in the game, in the second half, and in extra time, PSG clearly looked like they had the better chances, and it was, I wouldn't say that it was PSG's game to lose, but you could tell that they were the ones sort of ruining their missed opportunities a little bit more because Arsenal really weren't creating that many. And I mean, we could get into the conspiracies of if this ref didn't want them to take corners, especially after the end of the first half, where he blew the whistle before Saka could take the corner.
Arsenal,
I've never seen before.
They held Arsenal until extra time before there were ever any corner kicks, and then there were two in succession.
Right,
which is crazy.
So the comments and everything were there was a lot of frustration with that, but I don't think the ref is to blame here. I mean, in general, I don't think either team could really make any real case. The Saka handball, I mean, initially a lot of people were kind of complaining about that. But when we're looking at it right now, PSG got it done. I mean, I wish Arsenal could have, it's not even about, like, I'm not an Arsenal fan. I don't necessarily care if they won or lost, but I wish as a neutral, I could have seen a team that looked like the Arsenal I kind of know. I thought the midfield was absent. Right. They didn't do anything. I don't even think there were any shots outside the box. I could be wrong. How many shots did it?
If you look at them, attacking wise, yes, you can say they're absent, but they were all doing a significant amount of defensive work. And was really what the ask was on them. And I think that you're right. Casuals, people that had no skin in the game, are going to be absolutely bored, annoyed with the way that this match played out. But it was a tactical masterclass. Anybody that truly loves, knows, plays this game, knows how hard it is to be disciplined enough to play in a way that you don't necessarily want to. And every footballer wants to get out there and score goals. But to be able to sit compactly and not come out of position and trust each other. And we did see some changes for Arsenal, which didn't seem to play out really well. Miles Lewis-Skelly had a few really really inopportune dispossessions that happened and things like that, where they got hemmed up once those subs were made. Yeah. But PSG just kept hammering at it, and you could see that they were getting frustrated. Yeah. The thing is, like, these two teams, this was never going to be a blowout of a match. You knew that Luis Enrique and Mikel Arteta were showing up here to win, and that was it. I think that ultimately what ended up happening is a little bit more of PSG's experience, especially coming into big matches like this and going to, God, a shootout where you never want to do that, that they managed to polish. And unfortunately, the way that it played out, rather, for Arsenal, the kickers that they had at their disposal were not optimal.
I just want to read this comment real quick from Major Money, who just says, "Hello, Cooligans. First time, long time," which is not it's not his first time, but it is a long time. But so Major Money said, "Question for Kupo. Does Arsenal get relegated in Ligue 1? I'll hang up and listen." You can't do this.
This is so funny. Because do you realize how much Ligue 1 lacks parity? The reason that PSG can do what they do with all of the money that they have all season long and make it look like a cakewalk is because they have almost zero competitors in that league.
Sure.
There isn't.
They have zero competitors, but also when you look at, this was brought up in the beginning of the broadcast, when you look up how many minutes the players have played throughout the season, Arsenal have logged an immense amount of minutes over PSG because I think if you look up Marquinhos, he's like, I don't play Ligue 1. I'm done with that league. I only play Champions League. I have real no interest in this, like, French this is, stuff.
Yeah.
I pay attention to the important trophies because they once they wrapped up Ligue 1, and not to say that they didn't run away with it, but I think they won by like 12 or 15 points or something like that.
Yes.
And but it's clear Luis Enrique's like mindset and decision is like, okay, I know what the important competition is. They treat Ligue 1 like it's Carabao Cup. And it's just like, all right.
Because you have the liberty of doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be real. Like, day in, day out, the Prem is more competitive week over week than Ligue 1 is.
Yeah.
Okay? You have some standout teams for sure, but it's just not the same. Okay? And right. Again, we know that this has been the PSG project for season over season, where it's been, we make this super team. We've seen them fail where they plenty thought money could plug all the holes plenty of times, but this is where we're at right now, you know?
Yeah. And it's the strategy worked. And look, I there's nothing about the way Arsenal played that tells me that there was like fatigue. I would say there wasn't any fatigue or anything. It's harder to probably play the way they play, right? Defending without the ball for so long.
Yeah.
And so it stresses you like physically and psychologically.
It's a psychological test for sure. And quite frankly, I don't think there's anything that Arsenal have to not be proud of this season.
That was remarkable.
I am so proud of this team, and they should all hold their heads high.
Yeah.
It's just that this is what happens when you go to Champions League finals and you end up in PKs.
Yeah, well, at the very least, you got to make the keeper stop it, man. You can't miss them, bro.
I know.
The two of those, that's brutal. All right. I mean, look, we're looking at the stats right now, and it's, it based on the numbers, it sort of looks like Arsenal were just outplayed, but that really wasn't the game. Did PSG take a lot of shots? A lot of meaningless ones.
Yes.
There wasn't too much threat. And credit to David Raya. I thought David Raya played a pretty great game. I mean, he stopped really, really like difficult chances. The Barcola, breakaway, and he got in front of that and got the ball. Played very bravely. So credit to him. We're looking at some stats. PSG this season: one UCL on penalties, one French Super Cup on penalties, one UEFA Super Cup on penalties, one FIFA Intercontinental.
So
Cup
are
on
they PenFC now? Is that like the new?
They got that label.
Never mind
now,
PSG,
bro.
They're PenFC.
They can only do it in pens. let's. Are we going to comments? Is that what we're doing? 2 minutes. Okay, no, just a second. So, yeah, man. The I think that the story is going to ultimately be the penalties. Even though obviously, you know, 120 minutes of football are played, but man, it's Eze missing. I was genuinely surprised by that. And because of the story around him and everything that he's done this season, you just kind of wanted that moment for him. But Gabriel, we both said when he walked up, when the commentator said, oh, Gabriel's going up, and he wasn't on camera yet. I'm like, which Gabriel? Jesus? He hasn't been in this game yet. What's going on? For a center back to be the fifth penalty taker is just, I just think the wrong decision. I don't know who exactly decided the order. But credit to him. But, you know, he stepped up. He wanted to take it.
I don't think it was a deciding order. I think it was, this is what has to be. Because Gabby has only ever taken one other pen for Arsenal. It was preseason against Villarreal.
Yeah.
2025. And he also missed that. So this is one of two. So I think it's just how it panned out based on the players that were at their disposal, because the usual pen takers, it's Odegaard, it's Gyökeres, they did have,
Saka. And Saka, yeah.
So basically three of the five, that two weren't present.
Okay, I mean, we got the stats for Bukayo Saka. Clearly, our producers are Tottenham supporters. Just so everybody knows. So Saka did not do much in that game, yes.
You're both fired.
Kupo gets to decide that, by the way. Opta just said Paris Saint-Germain are only the third side ever to win both their league title and European Cup Champions League in back-to-back seasons after Real Madrid. 56. Ajax. Yeah. Yeah. PSG were, in Champions League, it's weird to use the word dominant and PSG, especially when it comes to Champions League, when they, for years and years and years, they just could not get over the hump. And then they get rid of Mbappe and then all the success. How is Mbappe feeling right now?
I feel like that's the ongoing dialogue, right? Especially like the internet loves that fight. Like, ooh, Mbappe. It's like, you know what? Yeah. Everybody turns around and goes like, what about Mbappe? It's like, you're looking back at your ex, man. Like, the man's moved on. It's okay.
Couples, they break up and, you know, and they all share the same friends, and sometimes the friends have to pick a sign.
Yeah.
And then, but the ones that chose Mbappe got to be like, oh man, I made a grave mistake. Mbappe did talk about this in a podcast recently where he said that he didn't feel bad when they won last year. He didn't feel bad because he got them sort of as far as they could.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they couldn't get it done. And so he felt like okay with the scenario. But can you say that after 2 years and they win it twice in a row without you, then the questions are going to be like, I think it was you, dog. You were the common denominator.
I feel like you can't really say two in a row. I think it has to be like asterisk, right?
Okay.
Because like, I don't think there was anyone that was like an individual outstanding contributor to say like, oh yeah, like Mbappe was missing and that's the thing. Right. Like you won off pens.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't break down a low block, and that was basically over an hour and a half of our respective lives sure. that we watched pass by.
All right, let's take a look at some comments. Ingrid, I said, I feel for my Arsenal fan friends, but what a game. I don't know what a game. I'm not gonna agree with that. At least it wasn't what a game. It was a kind of a very long stretches where it was a little bit dull. Spider Zlatan said, "Not gonna lie, I think penalty shootouts are boring. I didn't even watch that part." Get what? What are you doing? You don't watch penalty? That's like the crack cocaine of football.
Yeah, I totally tried not to watch the penalties.
Everybody, thank you for all the everybody's showing giving their condolences to Alexis's. I am La Lucha said someone check on Alexis is in London. Hopefully he can send a message or something. But
he'll pop back up, I'm sure.
Send your condolences to Kupo. She's here. she is taking place of Alexis right now, so she will accept.
I'm the Arsenal fan suffering by proxy today.
Okay. So yeah, on a bigger scale I can ask an Arsenal fan, is this, I think I may know the answer, but is this a successful season for Arsenal?
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is a wildly successful season for Arsenal. They've been building toward this for so many seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Champions League is their white whale. They've had only fewer appearances in Champions League than Man United out of the Prem. And so this is just their last Everest to climb.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will get there. I feel like we need to have patience because we saw how long it took for them to finally get over that hump with the Premier League and become champions. They have done everything right this season. I don't see anything that's been a glaring error, a misstep, an act of hubris. It's been comprehensive. It's been disciplined. It's been clinical. They're wonderful. I love you, Arsenal. Like I'm sad too, but they have every reason to be proud today.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the people in the chat on YouTube are basic. The comment I've seen a lot is football won today, which is again they hate. I understand the clinical and all this stuff, but they look, and I don't. As a neutral, I'm not mad at Arsenal for playing the way they played, especially after three consecutive second place finishes. It's like, let's just win. Look, shout out to Carincho. It's like, Gabriel saved football by missing the penalty. It's I understand why they, at some point, you just like, whatever it takes to just get it done. How much can you finish
that's
second
football.
To yeah
that's,
to Arteta?
How much
to,
do you run headfirst into a wall when you know something's not working and you need to make changes? You make the changes. It doesn't matter what the changes are. It doesn't matter if people like them. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's about. And anybody that's played this game for any length of time understands that you do what's asked of you.
Right.
And you know what? Like, you win. A goal is a goal. Clean sheets are clean sheets. Like, that's how the game is played. It doesn't have to be razzle dazzle. You want to see razzle dazzle football where you lose all season? Nobody wants that either.
Sure. I could watch Preston North End at any time. The razzle dazzle. Okay. Let's take a look at a couple tweets. Shout out to Josh Hart from the New York Knicks, who's playing the NBA Finals. Big time Chelsea fan with the 12-year-old commentary. Arsenal, shout out.
He's okay. Gonna, like, I can't root against the Knicks, but like, but Josh, you're being stupid.
Or at least root against
stupid.
Josh today.
Josh,
only.
You're stupid.
Himothy on Twitter said, "Let it all work out." See, I got it. You got to sing. You can't not sing.
They
it.
Won the league.
Chelsea FC Cup. Oh, whoa. Chelsea did this? They're getting in on the banter?
Is this fake or is this their real
this
account?
This is real. Come and visit London's home of trophies. Book your stadium tour at Stamford Bridge now. Whoa.
I'm sorry. When were you last good?
Yo, Chelsea. The game just ended, bro.
You're not even good.
And your former player scored in the game.
Yeah.
So, just remarkable. Look, there's a lot of people didn't want to see Arsenal win the league, and definitely a lot of people happy that they did not win
Champions League.
Champions
yeah.
League.
Well, I mean, it would set an entirely new precedent.
Sure. I mean, and look, a lot of the jokes Alexis was making, like, don't let Arsenal win the league and the Champions League because I'm going to be like unbearable.
Yeah.
And that's going to be 50% less unbearable. You know what I mean?
No,
so
I think
like
we'll both be our regular amount of unbearable. But like, if there would have been a Champions League win,
sure,
it would have been like 300%.
Yeah. It would have been exponentially more unbearable.
You would have been rocking in the corner with your fingers in your ears.
So let's take a look at our players of the game. Do we have individual ones or just one? Okay. I think we agree here, or at least I was pushing for this one, but Kvaratskhelia Kvaratskhelia, drawing the penalty, obviously didn't score, but he is such a threat. Even when Mosquera fouled him, we were watching it. I was like, you can't even go for the ball. Like, it's so reckless with him. You see, there were three or four times at the top of the box, he's foot on the ball. And defenders are like, I'm not even thinking about putting my foot in there because I know what's going to end up happening. Either I'm going to get posterized or I'm going to foul him and it's going to be a penalty. And Mosquera, and I like Kvaratskhelia plays in a way where I'm like, there's no amount of training I could ever do to get this kind of ability and vision where he showed him the ball where as like, you might be able to get it if you try. And he puts his leg out right there. And then Mosquera doesn't even, he just throws his leg in between both Cavada's legs and looks terrible. It looks like a player who never, like a forward who's defending, right? He makes defenders look really, really bad. So that's why.
Kvaratskhelia has been that guy since he was at Napoli. And he's also, on one hand, very predictable. Like, he'll always cut in on that left. Mm-hmm. However, that man has some he's got some sticky boots, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
He literally is so silky and he's faster than you expect him to be. So yeah, if you're going to do a rookie move and try to stick a boot in, he's pulling the foul.
Yeah, it just that moment, Kvaratskhelia reminds me of like a boxer who in like round one is like, he's not really showing you everything just yet. Mm-hmm. He's just like working you, trying to figure you out. And then, it only takes like...
We call that playing with your food. Like, let them tire themselves out. Come to me.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even go that far that he was doing that. But he definitely was just finding his moments. And I forgot who passed him the ball in that one too. I forgot who it was exactly. It might have been Dembele. But it's just one of those moments where he's just like, man, you knew this was coming. And as soon as the second half started and PSG were playing with a little bit more intensity, it just sucks. Like, no, I don't think anybody would say you should have started Timber because Yuen Timber hasn't played in the last like 2.5 months. But Mosquera, it's like, I don't want to put the entire loss on him, but that is just...
No, it's a matter of...
bad mistake.
Playing the players at your disposal and then also trusting them, right? And yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, they got hemmed up a little bit like that. Mosquera, it was egregious.
And for a player who's had a great season and stepped in when necessary.
But you also have to remember that this is otherworldly, right? Like, you're in a Champions League final. Everything is riding on this. There's the mentality going to it, the physicality, the emotional aspect. It's everything compounded.
Yeah. You can't, if you're Arsenal, you can't have 25% possession and expect to win that game. I mean, I don't know.
They could have. They just needed to play an exquisitely clean match. Yeah. That could have been a 1-0 match.
Yeah.
And you know what? It would have worked out because PSG could not figure out how to break down that low block.
Yeah.
Nkapia getting injured toward the end did not serve any efforts.
Yeah. I would even go back further. What, 2 weeks before, Ben White getting injured.
Yeah.
That,
so again, like, you have these wonky injuries at the worst possible moment, but especially in a Champions League final, you have no subs left at your disposal. You're stuck. Right. And I get the logic there. You can't even bring Calafiore in, which who knows if things would have played out differently had he been in. Because, you know, like, the running gag, and I love him, is like, oh, always out of position. But and he like tries to hunt for those goals, which is great. But like, sometimes you get caught out for those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's look at some tweets. I can't believe. Oh, wait, we just saw it a second ago, but we were looking at expressions. The biggest PSG fan in the world, obviously, expressions oozing the diehard Tottenham support. Okay, what are we doing? We're looking at as a bottle, which he posted the one of the Man City fan
somebody had reposted,
so he shared
that.
And he was laughing about it. So he
and it's funny.
He's gonna have to deal with some of the banter as well. Opta Joe said 24.7% Arsenal's possession average. 24.7% was the lowest by a team in UEFA Champions League final on record, as well as their lowest in any match under Mikel Arteta, where they had 11 men on the pitch throughout. React.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, the intentionality there is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said earlier, like, it's Arsenal don't play like that. And it was odd that was the game that was in front of them.
But also PSG don't play like that. It hemmed them up just as much.
Sure.
It was almost like, hey, I could be just like sawing off my left leg here, but this also could really work out for us. And for Arsenal, it had.
Look, they got the goal early. So it sort of felt like, the starting lineup choices were fine. Like, because it seemed like they got it correct. But disappointingly, like, the midfield, again, I go back to it, the midfield was, I mentioned, like, they didn't have much play in the middle, but look at last Champions League, Declan Rice's free kicks against Real Madrid, where Arsenal had no fouls, like, basically near the 18 at the top of the box. Like, there was almost no threat. And that part of it is disappointing, where you know you need set pieces. That is your game. That's your bread and butter. And there weren't enough of them. I understand maybe not a lot of corners, but to not even be dangerous enough to be fouled at the top of the box to create some other dangerous chances.
Well, I think that's where the tide turned a little bit, because the call started to look like they were falling all in PSG's favor.
Yeah,
For sure, that was something that threw a wrinkle in things. Suddenly calling, and again, I have no problem with officiating as long as it's even and consistent, but when you start calling things like time wasting for a corner right before the first half, and it just seems a little bit silly, because that hadn't been the precedent that had been set. That never gets called.
Yeah, I just want to, who was it? Bryce Jackson in the chat just said, Chelsea has no leg to stand on talking greasy with their 10 managers in 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, it's great. I can't even be mad at their tweet. I'm like, yo, this is your current cultural relevance, Chelsea. Congratulations.
All right. We got some more comments that we'll put up on screen. Kevincho, shout out to Kevincho, says, we are definitely going to see another London team, Crystal Palace, make a post flexing the European trophy. So, I mean, look, it is.
But did you win the league, Palace?
Because even Tottenham fans will be like, at least we won a European trophy. But it's not the one people
right.
want.
It's not the one. It's not the one.
Let's be for real.
Right.
Bro.
That's like somebody being in the chat, which I saw Chelsea being like, they won Club World Cup. Bro, they just made that competition out of thin air and you won it. It doesn't even mean anything.
Right. I mean, also, it was like, who could win this? Who could win a soccer game in 1,000 degrees?
Yeah,
and Chelsea
exactly.
happened to be
We're
going to
see that same experiment follow through for World Cup.
We got more football. One today's thank you Bryce
talking
the,
greasy
Chelsea.
Thank you Bryce.
Thank you,
somebody
Bryce.
Of logic and taste.
Ingrid asks, Alexis, are you okay? Give us a smoke signal. Yeah, we gotta see how he's doing. He hasn't texted. I don't know what he's up to.
I'm like, I'd FaceTime him, but
Bryce,
I fear
we could read this.
Oh, thank you, Bryce. I will probably be sobbing later in the shower, but it just, you know what, it breaks my heart for the individual players, like Eze, and we know his entire story. It's just so romantic that he would end up at this club during this particular season, yeah. where they actually go and do the damn thing and then get put up there, what, third to take a PK, and just like, he got in his head. Yeah. He got in his own head.
It looked like he wanted to go down the middle.
Yep. Just the stutter step, the way left. It's just unfortunate. I feel bad for him. He's going to replay that, I promise, forever on loop. I've done worse and also lesser things that I live with every day that I think about. But then also Gabby was put in an impossible position of kicking fifth in a match that means the world to everyone. Like, this isn't to minimize it. Like, this is everything. Mm-hmm. And of course he was going to have a hard time with that. He's not a usual PK taker. His experience is now 2 of 2, both times he misses. You're a center back. You're an amazing defender. I feel bad for him. Like, my heart breaks for him that this is going to weigh so heavily on his shoulders, and it will.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm gonna put a little bit, most of the responsibility on Mikel Arteta for this
and
loss.
It is.
I mean, there's a lot of interesting choices.
He did a lot of remarkable things, but what ended up panning out where this is your selection, and quite frankly, that probably is the best selection you could have put out there, maybe, of the five kickers.
I don't think so. Oh, the kickers. Yeah. I would even go
of
just,
who was fielded.
Yeah.
You have one guy that's injured. Like, who else are you sifting through there?
Yeah, I mean, Capia didn't have a bad game, but I still probably would have gone with Calafiori.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, also, Miles Lewis-Skelly, I don't think he had the worst game, but I would have gone with Eze. Maybe.
He showed his youth today in the Champions League final.
And he was good defensively because he made mistakes and he was tracking back, but I probably would have gone maybe Eze instead of Odegaard, or maybe Odegaard and Eze and not Skelly. I don't
when
know.
When we saw the substitutions come in, where we saw sort of like a two striker situation, and you understood what Mikel was hinting at and trying to get at, but it just, I feel like the game got away from him and he was trying to figure it out as they were going through extra time. Like, how do we get to PKs? But if that was what you had in your mind on the other side of that horizon for PKs was those five, I think I would have played harder. I would rather die by the sword on the pitch playing in extra time.
Okay, that's fair. We've been talking about Arteta, but let's talk about the winning manager, Luis Enrique. Again, who wins back-to-back Champions League for a PSG. You know, again, this was the tournament that they always want to win, and they could never get, like, they could always get close but couldn't finish it off. But look, we're looking at the tweet. It says 12 trophies and counting for Luis Enrique at PSG, including back-to-back Champions League titles. Is he the best man? Now that Pep is leaving Man City or left Man City.
Last man standing greatest kind of conversation?
Is he the greatest available right now? I mean, because I even saw Patty, the UFC fighter, Patty the Batty.
Yep.
Because Arne Slot has been relieved of his duties. Yep,
relieved of his duties earlier this morning.
Which is a whole... We can spend time talking about that because I think that's kind of very harsh, but whatever. But he even said, he's like, I hope Luis Enrique steps down right after this game and becomes a Liverpool manager. So we'll see what ends up happening. But
can you imagine? They were like, thanks for the trophy. Hey, by the way, here's my presser. Guys, you're on your own.
Then you'll be Mauricio Pochettino. I'm kidding. So, no, I think it's a look. He is, he's done it for different clubs and won so many trophies. But I think he's sort of getting into a place where like he left the drama of the front office of Barcelona, which they always have the financial issues. Don't
yes,
and he's kind of at a place where he can like. Yeah, who he wants, and I think he has a little bit more autonomy.
Yep.
And you're seeing what a manager like that with the control that he would like, and he's doing just a fantastic job. Everybody on, look at all the players that from PSG that are going to the World Cup, and just like he's seemingly
absolutely,
making
but
everybody
like,
better.
Again, like he also has a super team.
He does
in a relatively easier league, and I feel like La Liga also isn't super competitive.
I mean, look at Real Madrid. They have you say that's a super team? It's a pretty strong team.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what? A small part of me, I do want to see Luis Enrique in the Premier League coaching and managing another. I don't care. Give him a big club. Let's see what he can do.
Sure.
Because, like, can you win 12 trophies with a rigorous schedule like that that's a little bit more unpredictable and less closed where, you know, the cards get shuffled and you've got multiple competitions that you're throwing your hat into that are relatively challenging?
Yeah. It's, I don't think, even if he stays at PSG, like, I think PSG are fun to watch and entertaining. I'm not really watching Ligue 1 like that, but in Champions League, he puts out a good product and it's entertaining, and he's brought... You know, those La Masia kind of, you know, ideals and philosophy. And PSG are playing fantastic. And I was watching them last year at the Club World Cup. And, so credit to him. I mean, it's not to necessarily say, like, I don't think he did anything amazing to make sure that they win this time around.
Right.
I think Arteta made more mistakes than... And Luis Enrique making brilliant decisions to win this final.
Yes. I think that when it comes down to it, obviously the decision making that funneled into what would be the kicks is fundamentally what happened. That's what went wrong for Arsenal, which is like such a weird thing, you know. So, like nobody did anything. I would say that Arsenal did something tactically remarkable. They did. It's just that it didn't pan out because. PKs aren't tactically remarkable. There's no rhyme or reason to them.
Yeah.
It is all a game of chance, which just pisses me off.
The game has to end at some point, right?
Yep.
Let's look at some more comments here on YouTube. We got Bryce Jackson said, so has it gone from master tactician, some quote unquote master tactician to Arteta out for losing Champions League? No. You got to give... Arteta got a new contract, whatever.
That's our guy.
Winning the Premier League after 22 years is remarkable. Major Money says, PSG going to three-peat? It doesn't seem impossible. If Luis Enrique stays and they keep this strategy of like prioritizing this competition over the league...
Yep.
I don't see why not. And if this team stays together, if you saw the starting lineup for PSG in this 2026 Champions League final was the same, minus Donnarumma from last year. So they know how to get here and they're doing their thing.
I'm so sorry. That Major Money comment is so funny.
Which one? Read it. Go for it. Oh, wait. We got this one first. Hold on.
Kubo is one of the few City fans you tolerate. I feel bad for you especially. However, this Arsenal performance was an assault on the game and they were punished by the football gods. Go cry to your mama.
It's a... was it... this, I don't know. It's like the Arsenal performance. I mean, at that point, I'm like, I have to give credit to PSG. They did like the right thing. But I do think it was simply the choices that for the starting lineup. I just thought, I don't think that was the best strategy for a team like PSG, which they wanted, they were going to counter. They probably didn't really want the ball that much.
I think, honestly, I think everything was remarkable. I have no qualms, and I did see the starting lineup and go, huh? Like, I mean, expected to see
injuries, I expected
to see Jokeres maybe start, and so there were a couple of things, but it was the intentional plan was laid. It just didn't work.
Kubo, you can read this one.
Oh, I can't believe that Luis Enrique went into Champions League focused on the game. I thought big time managers were supposed to to use their prep time to interview for roles in Serie A before the match.
That's right.
This is my favorite comment of the day. Major money.
So, hey, I did think it was also interesting. Just scrolling through my like Instagram and TikTok feed and just seeing everything that was posted when the press conferences for both teams happened. For whatever reason, the algorithm only showed me Arsenal stuff. It was what did Osaka think? What did Arteta think?
Does Alexis have your creds?
No. It's not. But I think it was the storyline that most of the media and legacy media to content creators was, how's Arsenal going to handle this? Like, literally, I didn't see one comment from Luis Enrique, from Dembele, from literally nobody. And I'm sure a lot of it is, you know, my feeds are in English. I'm not getting a lot of French content necessarily. But you would think that there would be a little bit of balance of like just, you know, seeing the two fighters go against, and you want to hear what they both have to say. And there was really none of that. It was just like, yeah, man, can you handle the pressure? Is all this and what's how is everybody going to handle it? And it was Arsenal. So I think the pressure was clearly on them. And
absolutely, but also like it's the more romantic media story to tell,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you just finally broke through after 22 years and won the Premier League. Could you win your first Champions League? Like, you're the first player to turn manager to win the Premier League as a coach. Like,
and I wonder if that affects the players in some way psychologically. I mean, you know, there were a couple poor touches, a couple of mistakes here and there. Is that on their minds necessarily, or is the constant, is the spotlight being on them more than it is on PSG? Is that a big deal? That's kind of what I was thinking about as this game was going on. Let's look at one more comment. Severin Lorenko said, Arsene Wenger curse continues. He was at the game. Is that a thing when Arsene Wenger goes to games? Is that like a curse?
I would like to think no, because he's Papa. But okay. Yeah, I just feel like at this point, everybody has their own superstitions.
Okay, this was a tweet from Arsenal, quoting Arsene Wenger. It says, quote, I want this trophy to go to Emirates Stadium because it's missing there. Arsene Wenger is backing us tomorrow in the Champions League final. Was it a guaranteed L after that? Why'd he say that, bro?
See, I feel like we all have our own superstitions, right? So you're like, why'd you do that? You're like, should I wear my favorite Arsenal kit today? Should I not do it? What do I do?
Well,
like,
we were talking about this before we started, before even when you got here. I had asked you, because I was like, Alexis is in London, can you come and do the show? And you were thinking of not doing the show because you were that superstitious.
Yeah, I tend to not do big games outside of home.
Yeah.
But then I also sometimes have a little bit of regret because I miss like big celebrations. Yeah. And then I end up like running out the door to be like, wait for me.
I was here the whole time.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're welcome, Christian.
Yeah.
If Arsenal would have like won today, you'd be stuck wearing that with me for the next like 50 years of our lives.
But then also, if Arsenal, if you would have stayed home, do you think Arsenal would have won?
Did I do this? Arsenal? Sorry. Like, listen,
is it my fault because I asked you to do this?
I wore the Aries training top because I was like, it's drip, but it's not like an overt Arsenal
kit.
So I don't know. Let's put it this way. I won't be wearing this for future Champions League finals.
let's do a poll in the chat.
Was it me?
Was it me? Was it my fault for asking you? So therefore, through the transitive property of Arsenal
lost because of Christian Polanco.
We got this. Dr. Joe, have a stat for that. Put it up on screen. All right. let's highlight, okay, just a quick thing. All right, we'll have a little special treat after we're done here, but I feel bad for my Arsenal friends, similar to what Ingrid said. I feel bad. I mean, it would have been an incredible story. It's just a little bit of a damper.
You would have had me like sobbing while like running laps in here, just nervous energy expended.
But they won the league.
They did win the league.
Alexis and I were at the Premier League Fan Fest, and it was Arsenal, Manchester City. Obviously, Manchester City won the game. But before the game, we were like, you know, asking the crowd, like, do if you win Champions League and lose the Premier League, would that be like a good season? And, you know, and probably a little surprisingly to me, a lot of the fans were like, no. There were a couple that were like, Champions League would be great. But a lot of them were like, no, we want to win the league. And clearly the priority, when I took the temperature in Tampa, the winning the Premier League seemed to be the most important thing. This would have been a cherry on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been zooming around for weeks, but yeah, it's okay. There will be next season.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to wrap up right now. We're going to show a quick video from from the Premier League, and it's also featuring Arsenal. So this is I think Premier League in USA, I believe, did this, and a couple you'll recognize the person on screen. But everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. Seriously, we appreciate it. And shout out to Christine Kupo for coming through when clearly Arsenal would have won if she stayed home. So that the commitment to her craft and commitment to the Cooligans does not go unseen. We appreciate it. But Arsenal still, without a doubt, had an incredible season. And now we got the World Cup coming up. So
we do. It's going to be crazy. Summer's going to be a blur.
Work does not stop for us. Just a heads up. Tomorrow we'll be live again after the U.S. Senegal match. So come back across all the Yahoo Sports channels on the Cooligans YouTube. Hit like if you're watching on this video right now on YouTube. Hit like. Please subscribe and go check out our video interview with Chicharito Hernandez that we just did last week. Just hit 100K on YouTube, which is now officially our most viewed video.
Wow.
On YouTube, which is pretty cool. So go check that out if you want to see a wild ass interview with Chicharito Hernandez. All right, so we'll wrap up there, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out in the chat. Thank you for all your comments. Shout out for everybody watching across Yahoo Sports channels, and check this out.
Born and raised, homegrown hero.
Arsenal's most influential
player, Saka.
We're Mikel Arteta's army. We're also through and through. Come on, Arsenal. The Premier League is full of unbelievable players. For real, world class. Pick any team, any position. But there's one guy I'd watch over all of them. Every single time, no hesitation. Starboy, that's what we call him.
Starboy continues to shine.
And from the moment I first saw him, I understood why.
Young talent, Bukayo Saka.
He doesn't look like he's trying to prove anything.
Absolutely brilliant.
He just looks like he belongs. He doesn't do anything flashy. He just pauses, one beat, waits for the defender to commit, and he's already past him. It's so clean, it looks effortless.
Saka, it opens up for
him. And you look at the defender, and the defender's on the floor.
There's Bukayo Saka.
The goals he scores are impossible. And then you find out who he is off the pitch. And somehow, it makes it even better. Still showing up. Still that same person from Ealing. He's one of the best players in the world. And he called staying at his boyhood club an easy choice. I think about that a lot. 8 minutes from the training ground he grew up on. Never left. Somehow, that feels like the most him thing possible. And the first time he put on the captain's armband, he just looked ready. Like he always knew this is where it was going. That's the eye test right there. Not the goals, not the assists. That image, that's Starboy, the floor and the ceiling.
Magnificent goal by Bukayo Saka.
Seeing is believing.